Welcome to the Ken August Show. We are discussing some of today's biggest topics. I am either your host, Ken August, or this show is poorly named. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. You can catch us every day, 12 to 3 Eastern Time, or 9 a.m. to noon at our home in downtown Los Angeles. We are coming to you live from Skid Row Studios, real radio on the internet. You can also catch our rebroadcast 10 o'clock Eastern every Sunday night on Extreme XM channel 165. Coming up later in the show, we will talk about the president's State of the Union address. President Obama laid out some things that he'd like to tackle in his second term. The Republicans, in their response, explain why the president is a socialist dictator. Plus, the Pope announced that he is resigning at the end of the month. I guess God accepted his letter of resignation. He is the first pope to voluntarily step down in almost 600 years. Is he resigning to avoid testifying about Benghazi? I'm sorry, I think I'm getting my stories confused. But I do think he may be resigning one slow old man step in front of the law. We'll talk about that. But first, we're going to talk about the crazy movie-like manhunt that just came to a fiery end in Big Bear, California. I'll ask whether fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner had accomplished his mission before he died in a shootout with police. And is there any chance he is actually still alive? Before we get started, though, I want you to know that today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Today's show is sponsored by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download, audibletrial.com/Skid Row Studios. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or whatever you crazy kids use these days to download stuff. I got to be honest, I thought that actually reading was going out of style. It turns out that having other people read to you is fantastic. So if you're like me and can't drive and read at the same time, or if you just want to shut your kid up like my parents did, we'd go on a long hockey trip and they would throw a book on tape right in there. Nowadays, an audiobook. And they would throw that on there and they didn't have to look at me. So there goes reading to me. And I would shut up and listen to the story for hours. So audibletrial.com/Skid Row Studios. Download any book you want and let us know how that works out for you. All right, let's listen.
You are listening to Skid Row Studios.
You're 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 listening to Skid Row Studios.
We're listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe.
1-800-CLOTHES.com allows users to design apparel online for personal or professional use. You have the option of customizing t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, workwear, athletic wear, etc. The list goes on and on. They got it all. So if you want that t-shirt that says Who Farted, or if you're with that guy and want the t-shirt that says I'm with Stinky, go to 1-800-CLOTHES.com. BestBuyEyeglasses.com. Since 1997, Best Buy Eyeglasses has been a leading optical e-tailer with 30,000-plus eyewear products, including prescription frames, sunglasses, custom-made lenses, and accessories. They carry the full line of top brands, including Ray-Ban, Versace, Prada, Adidas, and Gucci, as well as 300-plus other brands. So if you're like me and you need eyeglasses, or you're driving by sense of smell like I am, check out BestBuyEyeglasses.com. The Discovery Channel store reaches beyond the television screen to bring the wonder and mystery of the world to you. The Discovery Channel has scoured the globe to provide you with access to the most informative, interactive, and engaging products available. So explore the world and entertain your brain Discovery style. Check out the Discovery Channel store, the closest one near you. Since 2001, FindLegalForms.com has helped over 800,000 customers by providing high-quality and easy-to-use legal forms. They offer more than 14,000 attorney-prepared legal forms to satisfy virtually any legal need. So if you have a simple legal need and don't want to pay those outrageous legal prices, go to findlegalforms.com. iNetVideo.com is your source for low-priced DVD, HD DVD, Blu-ray, video games, and music CDs. They also have the newest releases at unbeatable low prices. You can also find games for the PlayStation 2, PS3, PSP, Nintendo Wii 2, GameCube, Game Boy Advance, and a whole bunch of Xboxes. Once again, go to inetvideo.com for the cheapest. IslandSurf.com serves up the most fashion-forward and cutting-edge brands in the surf industry. In addition to clothing and accessories, Island Surf also offers a great selection of purses, totes, backpacks, and luggage. And don't miss out on their awesome fall and winter selection of denim, hoodies, and snow outerwear. Unless you're in the South and you're black, I would avoid the hoodie. Oh, I can't do that. Jelly Belly Candy Company is the foremost creator and supplier of gourmet jelly beans. Jelly Belly makes over 100 kinds of candies. The confections brand features everything from creamy chocolates to sour gummy worms to scrumptious candy corn, a treat made by Jelly Belly for over 100 years. So if you're like me and are shaped happily like a Jelly Belly, the Jelly Belly Candy Company is for you. Why, Mr. Beer? It's the world's number one home microbrewery, that's why. With over 1 million kits installed, their competition doesn't even come close. And they back up their product with an unconditional guarantee and supply their customers additional mixes and accessories so they can use their kit over and over again, which is when I like to drink. So if you're like me and need a drink every now and again to take the edge off, go to MrBeer.com and get your own home microbrewery. Old Time Candy offers unique gifts for any special occasion, including holidays, birthdays, anniversaries, and corporate events. Do you remember candy you ate as a kid, such as wax lips and candy buttons on paper tape and wax syrup bottles or Sky Bars? Zagnet, Necco wafers. Do you remember those? Well, OldTimeCandy.com has tracked them down, and that old-fashioned candy from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s are still available after all these years. So if you're like me and you have a yearning for the taste of the old days, go to OldTimeCandy.com. The South Beach Smoke Electronic Cigarette is a revolutionary smoking device that is really simple to use. It looks, tastes, and feels like smoking a real cigarette, but it's not. You puff on it like a regular cigarette, inhaling vapor, minus the harmful tar and carcinogens. In addition to being a better product than a regular cigarette, it's also an easy way to ease your way back from smoking. So if you're looking to quit and baby step your way there, go to SouthBeachSmoke.com.
FCC.
Hi, I'm Rick Kosick, and you're listening to Car Free Radio Nista on SkidRowStudios.com.
Nice. This is good. Solid 80s to the head. This is the Ken August Show live at Skid Row Studios, real radio on the internet. We are going to start this off. I want to talk about that crazy manhunt. That was, and at first that was just a California story, but that was the largest manhunt in California history. Can't be too many bigger manhunts going on. I mean, maybe Charles Manson when it was going on or when Kennedy was killed, but good Lord, this was a movie, except there's not that many likable characters in this story. Did you follow that whole Christopher Dorner ex-cop?
Yeah, I tried to follow most of it. It was a really, really big build-up, and then it just kind of...
I mean, we were talking a couple of days ago, and I think we said, if he's not found for a while... Oh, well, he's found.
Yeah.
And I think we both confidently said, well, there's no way he's in Big Bear. And then he was in Big Bear. Not only was he in Big Bear. Okay, so for anyone who doesn't know the story, we'll give you the quick. I mean, this is a crazy, crazy story. An ex-cop who at this point nobody knows is doing anything. But in downtown, in Southern California, there was a woman and her fiance were killed. And then shortly after that, not too far from there, a cop was killed and another one was shot. And then I don't know if they discovered it or if it was posted after that, but basically an ex-cop put a manifesto on Facebook. And that manifesto was a 20-page manifesto, which right off the bat, if somebody writes a 20-page manifesto, somebody's dying. Nobody's writing a manifesto and then good shit happens. That's not the happy manifesto. That doesn't happen. So this guy writes a 20-page manifesto, and in it he names names of people in the LAPD who wronged him, who he feels wronged him. And he named 50 people. And he basically listed in a pretty logical and rational way for somebody who is claiming that he's murdering people, that he is targeting and declaring war on the LAPD because they wronged him when he was there, and that it is still a very, very, very corrupt and racist organization. And he was fired in 2009. And so he is basically saying that when he was fired, he was wrongfully fired and accused, and then I guess accused and fired for making false statements. He said that his superior, his training officer, who is a woman, was a woman, still is a woman, I believe, kicked at least twice a suspect who was mentally ill. I believe they said was schizophrenic. And 9 days later, I believe, he went in and reported that she used unnecessary force by kicking this guy. And what ended up happening was, is I don't know how much of a delay there was between him reporting it and them having a case, but they had a hearing and decided that his statements did not all line up. And therefore, they couldn't verify it. And instead of saying we couldn't verify it, he got fired for making false statements. Now, there's things that do verify his story, such as the father of the suspect said that when his son came home, he told him he was kicked. So the cops, the only people who said he wasn't kicked was the cop who's denying it. And then the police officers who investigated it basically said, hey, you know what? One of the things they said was, "There's, you know, we have no proof, and you can't take the suspect's word for it because he's not mentally stable," which seems like you're canceling out a pretty big witness if you take out the person who was kicked. However, the first person that was killed about 10 or 11 days ago was the daughter of the cop who represented Christopher Dorner. So Christopher Dorner got fired for making false statements about his superior kicking this kid. He gets fired for making false statements. There's a hearing. During that hearing, the cop turned lawyer who represented him, I believe his last name was Kwan, he represented him. Dorner feels he knows he was innocent. They all know that he didn't make false statements. This woman did kick this person. And what ends up happening is the person he kills first is that guy's daughter. Unrelated to the event in any other way.
And the husband and there was a third too, right?
There was a fiance, killed him too.
Right.
She was a basketball coach. Killed her fiance. Then he went and killed a cop and shot the other cop who did not die. And I don't believe these cops were related.
There was four deaths in total, and I know that...
Well, there was another one during the standoff later on.
Right, exactly. One of the two during the standoff up in Big Bear was shot and then later pronounced dead.
Right. So he takes off. Cops, they know it's him because his manifesto not only says he's doing this and he's declaring war, but names 50 cops and says he's going after them and their family and says this corruption will never change until something is done, something drastic. And he refers to what he's doing as a necessary evil, and he has to do this to get his name back, which... You know, if he's successful, he changes his reputation from a man who makes false statements to a man who is a mass murderer.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting aspects of this whole thing is the hype that was placed around, what's his name, Dorner?
Yeah, Christopher Dorner.
Dorner, yeah, the hype that was placed around him, they made this guy out to seem like he was Rambo. Yeah,
they did. They did have that. And here's the thing is, the way you and I were talking about it a couple of days ago, and it's not that this guy's murdering people, so don't get me wrong. I am by no means saying that is good in any way, shape, or form. But there was an element of you and I not wishing, but in a way expecting him to kind of be, you know, we thought he wasn't in Big Bear. We figured, well, why would he light this thing on fire? You know, this guy seems way too on top of his shit. He knows how the LAPD work. He's also military. So
I think it was the media that actually made that, instilled that in the minds of all the people that were listening to this story. Because, yes, he has this background, but just because he's ex-LAPD or ex-Marines, whatever it may be, doesn't mean he was good.
No, that is true.
And everyone, the media definitely led you to believe that this guy was literally like a one-man army and he was going to take on the world and who knows, you know, when he's going to stop. And, I mean, after, you know, now that we know everything that happened, I don't know. I'm wondering if the media didn't have a huge role in playing this whole thing up.
Well, here's the thing is, he may not have been caught. Do you know where he was hiding? He was gone for a week. They went up to Big Bear. So he takes off. Everybody knows now that they're on the lookout for him. He disappears, and then his truck is seen on fire up in Big Bear. And they have a huge manhunt. Somewhere around, I didn't do the math, but somewhere around a gazillion cops go up to the Big Bear area. And, you know, a lot of people are saying what you're saying and what I was saying, which is he's not going to, why would he light his truck on fire to draw these people in unless he's already gone?
But that is what we were led to believe because we were told that this guy was some kind of a master.
But you don't have to be a master of anything. If I was running from the police, I would not draw attention. If I light my car on fire, somebody's showing up to put it out. Like, that just seems
stupid.
But
people thought it was this clever diversion, though. That's the thing, is that, oh, this guy's, you know, he's a warrior of some sorts, and, you know, he knows how to draw the attention away from where he is. So he lights a car on fire, and now he's 1,000 miles from here. And that's, you know, that's what everybody was kind of going toward. And it turned out that the police's suspicions, their first suspicion, and the, you know, drawing people in with this burning car, that's exactly where he was, and that's where they found him.
Yeah, but do you know where he actually was?
Nowhere.
He was, you know what? Let's listen to this from ABC News.
The end of 10 days of terror, and police believe a killer once on the loose is now dead. The charred foundation, all that's left of a cabin in the woods, set ablaze. And police believe that Christopher Dorner was inside.
I am standing at the one-time police command post, the heart of that manhunt for Christopher Dorner. And right over my shoulder, those houses right there, we now know that's where Dorner was holed up just as of yesterday. Neighbors telling us he very well may have been hiding in plain sight.
Basically across the street from the cops.
Yeah.
So goes back to, hey, that's pretty damn clever. I still don't know why he lit his truck on fire, if he did light his truck on fire. But the, hey, they're searching house to house, so I might as well just go right up next to them where they won't even look. I mean, that alone. And now here's the other thing, is that he probably would not have been found. I mean, the way he was found was the couple that owns the cabin he was staying in.
Cleaning ladies, right?
That's what they originally reported. And then they came out and it was actually the owners of the house went to clean the house. They rented out. And so there was nobody in the cabin. They went to clean it out and found this guy there. So what he ends up doing is they go in, they find him. Okay, they find him just chilling out, like hanging out upstairs. And he had a big gun with him. And he pulls the shotgun on. I think it was a shotgun or a rifle. And holds that out at him and says, stay calm. She runs. He chases them down. He ties them up. Covers their head with some sort of bag or something or a pillowcase. Ties that up as well. So with zip ties, he ties their hands. And tells them, according to them, I don't want to hurt you. I have no, you know, I have no beef with you at all. So he takes their car and goes and takes off to who knows what he's going to go do. So he steals their car. One of them escapes, hops over, gets the cell phone, calls the police. The police start showing up and he crashes his car and tracks down somebody else. Pulls his gun out, jumps in front of somebody else and carjacks that guy. It's a 60-something-year-old man with his dog. And that guy says, he's driving and all of a sudden this big man jumps in front of his car with a shotgun pointed at him or a rifle, whatever, pointed at him and says, get out of the car. I don't want to hurt you. Take your dog and keep walking up the road. So he's not hurting anybody that's not police or who he feels revenge related. Anyone he doesn't feel he has a beef with, he's not hurting.
But who goes to Big Bear as an escape plan to begin with? There's like two roads to Big Bear. And it just seems like a terrible place to go right from the beginning.
Well, I mean, unless he wanted to get some skiing in. Because he's going to ski himself in a Bond-like fashion, himself to freedom. I don't know, but I mean, it didn't take long. They were getting pretty close. If these people didn't show up to clean the house, you were already hearing stories of, oh, well, maybe he went to Mexico. We think he fled to Mexico. Yeah. So these people happened to show up, and everybody that he came into contact with that wasn't, that he felt he didn't have a beef with, he specifically said, I'm not going to hurt you. I have no desire to hurt you. I'm trying to get my name back. That is what he told these people. So he ends up stealing this guy's car, and then this guy takes his dog and starts walking off, and then the cops show up, chase him into this cabin. He goes into this cabin, and they have a shootout. That's when he killed the other cop, the fourth person, and shot somebody else, and then he barricaded himself in. And then in a Waco-like flashback, They're waiting him out, and all of a sudden the place is on fire.
Something happened.
Yeah, something happened. And they were claiming, you know, they claim that they didn't do it. They didn't light the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning, I believe they said. They said they did not do it. I think they said that in Waco as well. But, you know, there are some conspiracy theorists as well that say, well, is that even him? They still can't identify the body, although they said they found the gun, and they said they found his license.
The whole, you know, holdout on identifying the body, I don't know what the point of that is. I mean,
well, I think they're waiting till they know for sure. They're going to do tests just to be sure, but they seem so confident that it didn't take them long to ease up on all the restrictions on the roads that they had blocked off and the manhunt that they said they had. They called all that off, so they're pretty confident. Conspiracy theorists are saying things like, wait a second, this man's body is so charred that you can't identify him, but his license is sitting right next to him, and that's readable? That seems a little strange. That being said, I think it's him. Where did he go? You know, otherwise we're looking for that Rambo, like, oh, hey, he had a body double and somehow snuck out.
Yeah, and it's almost as if maybe the police themselves were buying into the hype a little bit and expecting something else to come out of this instead of, you know, oh, he's in a cabin and we're just, you know, we just lit the shit on fire and it's over.
Well, yeah, the police may have been buying into it because they did not deal with the stress well. And we're going to get into that, after the commercial break. But I'm going to ask whether he accomplished his mission and actually exposed the police for being, at the very least at times, Keystone Cop-like. They shot at a whole bunch of people, but we're gonna get into whether he accomplished his mission before a fiery death. Jelly Belly Candy Company is the foremost creator and supplier of gourmet jelly beans. Jelly Belly makes over 100 kinds of candies. The confections brand features everything from creamy chocolates to sour gummy worms to scrumptious candy corn, a treat made by Jelly Belly for over 100 years. So if you're like me and are shaped happily like a Jelly Belly, the Jelly Belly Candy Company is for you. 1-800-CLOTHES.com allows users to design apparel online for personal or professional use. You have the option of customizing t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, workwear, athletic wear, etc. The list goes on and on. They got it all. So if you want that t-shirt that says, Who Farted? Or if you're with that guy and want the t-shirt that says, I'm with Stinky, go to 1-800-CLOTHES.com. The South Beach Smoke Electronic Cigarette is a revolutionary smoking device that is really simple to use. It looks, tastes, and feels like smoking a real cigarette, but it's not. You puff on it like a regular cigarette, inhaling vapor, minus the harmful tar and carcinogens. In addition to being a better product than a regular cigarette, it's also an easy way to ease your way back from smoking. So if you're looking to quit and baby step your way there, go to southbeachsmoke.com. The Discovery Channel store reaches beyond the television screen to bring the wonder and mystery of the world to you. The Discovery Channel has scoured the globe to provide you with access to the most informative, interactive, and engaging products available. So explore the world and entertain your brain Discovery style. Check out the Discovery Channel store, the closest one near you. BestBuyEyeglasses.com. Since 1997, Best Buy Eyeglasses has been a leading optical e-tailer with 30,000-plus eyewear products, including prescription frames, sunglasses, custom-made lenses, and accessories. They carry the full line of top brands, including Ray-Ban, Versace, Prada, Adidas, and Gucci, as well as 300-plus other brands. So if you're like me and you need eyeglasses, or you're driving by sense of smell like I am, check out BestBuyEyeglasses.com. Old Time Candy offers unique gifts for any special occasion, including holidays, birthdays, anniversaries, and corporate events. Do you remember candy you ate as a kid, such as wax lips and candy buttons on paper tape and wax syrup bottles or Sky Bars? Zagnet, Necco wafers. Do you remember those? Well, OldTimeCandy.com has tracked them down, and that old-fashioned candy from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s are still available after all these years. So if you're like me and you have a yearning for the taste of the old days, go to OldTimeCandy.com. Why Mr. Beer? It's the world's number one home microbrewery, that's why. With over a million kits installed, their competition doesn't even come close. And they back up their product with an unconditional guarantee and supply their customers additional mixes and accessories so they can use their kit over and over again, which is when I like to drink. So if you're like me and need a drink every now and again to take the edge off, go to MrBeer.com and get your own home microbrewery. Since 2001, FindLegalForms.com has helped over 800,000 customers by providing high-quality and easy-to-use legal forms. They offer more than 14,000 attorney-prepared legal forms to satisfy virtually any legal need. So if you have a simple legal need and don't want to pay those outrageous legal prices, go to FindLegalForms.com. iNetVideo.com is your source for low-priced DVD, HD DVD, Blu-ray, video games, and music CDs. They also have the newest releases at unbeatable low prices. You can also find games for the PlayStation 2, PS3, PSP, Nintendo Wii 2, GameCube, Game Boy Advance, and a whole bunch of Xboxes. Once again, go to iNetVideo.com for the cheapest. IslandSurf.com serves up the most fashion-forward and cutting-edge brands in the surf industry. In addition to clothing and accessories, Island Surf also offers a great selection of purses, totes, backpacks, and luggage. And don't miss out on their awesome fall and winter selection of denim, hoodies, and snow outerwear. Unless you're in the South and you're black, I would avoid the hoodie. Oh, I can't do that. Jelly Belly Candy Company is the foremost creator and supplier of gourmet jelly beans. Jelly Belly makes over 100 kinds of candies. The confections brand features everything from creamy chocolates to sour gummy worms to scrumptious candy corn, a treat made by Jelly Belly for over 100 years. So if you're like me and are shaped happily like a Jelly Belly, the Jelly Belly Candy Company is for you. 1-800-CLOTHES.com allows users to design apparel online for personal or professional use. You have the option of customizing t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, workwear, athletic wear, etc. The list goes on and on. They got it all. So if you want that t-shirt that says, "Who farted?" or if you're with that guy and want the t-shirt that says, "I'm with Stinky," go to 1-800-CLOTHES.com. The South Beach Smoke Electronic Cigarette is a revolutionary smoking device that is really simple to use. It looks, tastes, and feels like smoking a real cigarette, but it's not. You puff on it like a regular cigarette, inhaling vapor, minus the harmful tar and carcinogens. In addition to being a better product than a regular cigarette, it's also an easy way to ease your way back from smoking. So if you're looking to quit and baby step your way there, go to SouthBeachSmoke.com.
Welcome to Bad Advice, where the advice is free and worth every penny. My wife and I attempted to have a frank discussion about sex with our teenage daughter. She said she and all her friends only had oral sex. She's only 16.
I actually saw an article. Teenagers, this is true. Teenagers are having less oral sex, but, less oral than they used to, but still at a high number, which to me is just proof that the kids today are getting lazier, but still eat too much.
I am incapable of building anything I buy from IKEA. I read the instructions and it just doesn't seem to help. Am I retarded or do other people have these problems?
No, you're Jewish.
But my people, we build things all the time.
What is your people?
What are you?
Yeah, what Mexican, is? Hispanic.
I was like, gay people don't build things. I've been told by my parents that I was a surprise. They said the word unpleasant.
I've tasted breast milk before.
Oh, really? Tell me more about that.
It was delicious.
Yes, I have tasted my sperm. Everyone tastes their own sperm.
And what does it taste like to you?
You know what? I wasn't that fond of it.
Are you sure about honey?
Let me ask you something, and then you can be honest with us. If we were making out, okay, wouldn't you rather have me hold your head firmly and pull, just not hard, too hard, but a little? Wouldn't you prefer that than just a soft little kiss? Yes.
It depends, though.
It depends. Can it be anyone but you doing it? It's an interesting place to draw the line.
I like that you're choosing women based on the men they're dating.
Well, it's going to affect the taste.
Oh.
She says, other women wonder how to have an orgasm. I wonder how to stop mine.
I hate to brag, but I dated a woman, and honestly, I gave this woman like 30-plus orgasms.
I hate to brag, but I'm the best.
I hate to brag, but I'm going to make up a horseshit story.
Seriously.
It's not a story.
I believe.
But I have advice for her. Oh, right. I think she should just start dating Vic, and then those will dry up. I'm sorry. I love you, Vic.
Man, she called you medicine.
Bad advice. Come get some.
Welcome back to the Ken August Show, live in downtown Los Angeles at Skid Row Studios, real radio on the internet. We're talking about the crazy California manhunt for Christopher Dorner that we think has now ended in his fiery death. They have not tested it yet, so they haven't conclusively said it was him, but they said it looked like a melted LL Cool J, or a melt Cool J, I think they called him. So it's probably him. But did he accomplish before he died? I was asking, do you think he accomplished whatever crazy mission he had in his head? He went in with this manifesto saying the corruption in the LAPD is never going to change until something drastic happens. So one, they reopened his case, where that he got dismissed from. Now, one, I don't understand, or I guess this is now two, I don't understand what's the point, because he's not getting that job back anyway. Even before he became Melt Cool J, he still was not getting a job back. He's killing people. So
don't you think they have to? I mean,
it's
tough. LAPD was just like, you know, we're not even going to recognize it. With the LAPD's reputation, they have no choice but to open those files back up
again. Which is why, although they're not going to open it to us, I don't believe they're going to open it to themselves again, and then conclude that they're, you know, this is another one of those strange processes where it's you know what, yeah, sure, we can review it, but we're going to review it in front of the same people that made the original decision. So I don't know what the review is going to do.
It's lip service, but they have to do it.
I agree with you, but it's a strange catch-22 of lip service, too, because they're saying we have to reopen the case, or we're reopening the case to show that, you know, the LAPD, you know, we're not hiding anything. And yet the next sentence they say it has nothing to do with what Christopher Dorner did. And you're like, well, obviously it does. Otherwise, you would never have done this in the first place. But they don't want to say the fact that he went and killed the daughter of a policeman, we're going to reopen his case. So they don't want to say that, but you're right. They had to do something because they already have a horrible reputation. And they didn't make it any better with some of their responses. A third person has now come out and said, hey, I've been shot at because I drive something similar to what Christopher Dorner drove. So apparently the LAPD's strategy of shoot every truck that looks like the suspects, I don't think that is eventually what led to capturing him. But three different groups. One of which was two women that supposedly were just delivering newspapers, and the cops opened fire on them.
Yep.
Shooting both of them. One of them got shot through the hand, I think they said. An earlier report said they didn't shoot her. They missed, but now I heard that she got shot in the hand. The other one got shot a couple of times. They're both expected to recover, and expected to recover well enough to sue heavily.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing is, you don't want to ignore the fact that these people felt themselves and their families' lives are in danger, and therefore they know they're dealing with someone extremely dangerous, and so they're on edge.
The accidentes guy that's on the back of all the city buses, he got a call.
Yes, the guy who looks like he has the fake mustache.
Yeah.
He looks like Bill Paxton playing the role of a Spanish lawyer, a Mexican lawyer, yes. So he definitely did. That is a very good call. I don't know. Besides the fact that most people already believe the LAPD, you know, has at least this reputation for a reason, besides that already, you know, being... I mean, it's already out there. Now, that's somewhat confirmed. Like people, he has 18,000 follow over 18,000 followers on Facebook on a site called We Are All Chris Dorner. Over 18,000 followers. Now, here's the thing is, and once again, first of all, he obviously went off the rail. So it's hard to assume just because he's playing into a reputation that everything he says is true. Because anybody whose logic is therefore I need to kill family members of policemen that wronged me, that you lost. You've lost any sympathy vote you can get. But people believe him. People tend to believe at least his initial gripe, which is why they've tried to overlook the horrible shit he has done to bring attention to it.
Do you think his actions or his manifesto served to change the mind of anyone who didn't already previously believe that, sure, the LAPD is corrupt on some level? I don't think he convinced any, you know, pro-LAPD supporters to all of a sudden...
Pro-LAPD? No, but I think most people... I mean, there are a handful of people, and I would say probably a good percentage of minorities who right off the bat don't necessarily trust LAPD for under certain circumstances. Not everybody, and I am not saying all policemen are bad. Most of them are not, and by no means am I condemning a whole group of people. But I would say there's good reason based on some history to have that feeling if you're a minority in L.A., there's a reason that reputation exists that, you know, you can get pulled over for driving while black. There's a reason why that is, you know, that whole fear at least exists. I mean, when I come back from visiting my folks in Florida, I don't like driving because I'm too tan. Too tan to drive in L.A. and I worry. But I think most people fall into the category of they don't think about it. And this, when like most people just don't give it that much thought. And then when crazy shit starts happening... Oh, why is this guy doing that? He's doing it because they're overly corrupt and they wronged him and they took his life from, they took his livelihood from him. I believe him. A lot of people say, I believe what he did and then go, but he's crazy. And obviously he's going about it in a horrible, horrible way. So, I mean, the only real thing in his defense you can say is if everything he's saying is true, then they basically mentally broke him. They broke him in every way and he snapped. And that is not an excuse because he's killing people that had nothing to do with what he is complaining about. So obviously he felt revenge killing.
4 years later, though, that's a strange amount of time to suddenly snap.
Well, suddenly snap may be different than crossing that last, you know, that he may have had 4 years of just sliding downhill. 4 years ago, he lost his job. Yeah. There's one thing if you lose your job, you turn around, and then an hour later, you go in and shoot the guy. It's another thing if over those 4 years, now you lose whatever ranking you had in the military or whatever standing you had in the military. You've lost your job. You've lost your reputation. You've probably lost some of your friends. You're not necessarily trained for a whole bunch of other shit. This is what your whole life has been. And now you're obviously not mentally stable if you've come to the conclusions you need to do what you're doing in the first place. So now you stew in that for a few years. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I don't think it's a snap like I'm so angry right now as much as I'm so angry. He tried to bring, you know, I mean, he had a case. He tried to do something about it according to what it sounds like. And he lost in every direction he thought he can go to and fucking snapped. And by no means is that an excuse. Everything he did was horrible. But I'm saying that's why I think people tend to believe what he's saying caused him to do this, even if they don't necessarily believe what he did. And there's no proof that necessary. I mean, here's the thing is, you read, anyone who writes a 20-page manifesto, they're going to go off the rails a little bit. And this guy came up with some crazy, crazy shit. I want to go over some of the crazy shit he put in his manifesto. And then I'm going to ask you what you would put in your manifesto, by the way. I would like to know what you, if you were going to leave a manifesto, and you of all people, I would say, are in the top 5% of people that might leave a manifesto.
I might actually leave a manifesto at some point.
There is at some point at the end of this week. Like it's pretty likely. You are manifesto bound, and I would like to know what you would put in there to kind of leave for people. But here is some of the crazy, crazy shit this guy. Now keep in mind, he is writing this manifesto explaining why he's going on a killing spree. A former cop, and somewhere in that explanation, he spun off into, It's kind of sad I won't be around to view and enjoy The Hangover 3. What an awesome trilogy. Todd Phillips, don't make any more Hangovers after the third. Takes away from the originality of its foundation.
Wow. I did not read that part of the manifesto.
Oh, no. We got more crazy manifesto going on. Hey, Mrs. Obama, I love your new bangs. A woman whose professional and educational accomplishments are second to none when compared to recent first wives. These are quotes. Quotes that, you know, hey, while I'm writing about my murder spree, let me say for about Ellen DeGeneres, quote, excellent contribution to entertaining America and bringing the human factor to entertainment. Nice. You change the perception of your gay community and how we as Americans view the LGBT community. Nice. Nice. That was under the gay chapter of Manifesto.
Wow.
He liked Christopher Waltz in Django Unchained and Inglourious Bastards, mentioned that. He devoted a paragraph to women saying, quote, the most beautiful women on the planet. Among them, he listed. Go ahead, name one. Name one that he listed. He has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 women listed on here. All of them pretty much in the entertainment business. Name one of them. Most beautiful women on the planet.
Margaret Thatcher.
You were very, very close. Kate Winslet. Gabrielle Union. Michelle Rodriguez. A little harsh for me. Kelly Clarkson makes the list. Natalie Portman. Laura Prepon. She's from that 70s show, I believe. And Morgan Freeman. Oh, no, wait. He's in a different category. Sorry. He also liked Daniel Day-Lewis and Morgan Freeman. This is nice. Charlie Sheen, he said his quote, effing awesome. Anthony Bourdain is a Renaissance man. And Bill Cosby is, quote, a reasonable man. I mean, these are things. Dave Brubeck's Take Five is, quote, the greatest piece of music ever, period.
I love that song.
Well, it is the greatest piece of music ever, period.
Ever. Well, I don't know about that. Well, it's really good when you're wasted in a bar.
Are you going to question a man with a manifesto?
That's true.
This isn't a manifesto. This is craziness, dude. Also, by the way, damn, gonna miss Shark Week. He wrote that as well. That's fucking
nuts. This guy
nuts.
Watched a lot of TV, man. That's what I'm gathering.
This guy is nuts, dude. I mean, obviously, he's going on a killing spree. He's fucking nuts, but when you're writing, and I guess maybe there was a point where he probably had, he wasn't talking to anybody for a while going, I'm planning my murder. It's tough to get others involved, or planning my murder spree. So it's tough to get others involved. So maybe he was just venting. But when you're writing something that you're going to leave for people to read, that you're not going to be able to talk to anybody ever again. Hey, gonna miss Shark Week. Damn. Seems nice. Bangs, Mrs. Obama, seems a little strange.
Wow.
I don't know, man. That seems fucking strange to me. What would you put in your manifesto? You're going out with a fucking hail of bullets. What are you going to put in there?
Wow, that's a tough one because there's so many things that you could start with, you know, like I'm sure going to miss burrito supremes from Taco Bell. They just came out with the nacho burrito or the nacho tacos. That's going to be tough.
That is, yeah, under your menu section of your manifesto. That's nice.
Yeah. Mostly everything that I would be missing would be based around food. And I would just talk about food the whole time. It would just be a list of people I want to kill.
Here's a list of people I want to kill. I don't know how far down this list I will get. Man, I will miss burritos.
Yeah.
That's a fucking fine manifesto. Are you a writer? That is a fine manifesto. I don't know. I mean, it's tough. That's tough. I think I would have to say something about religion. I would end with, I would probably throw something in there about religion killing more people than I could have possibly killed in whatever killing spree I went on.
But you're thinking logically. Like, that's a very distinct point, you know.
I am asking you what you would leave in your forever lasting manifesto, and you're telling me, well, don't think logically. You think I'm asking you for a crazy ramblings? If I want your crazy ramblings, I'll just talk to you.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I want you given some time saying, this is what I want to leave people with when they think of Jeremy, something other than this man loved his freaking burritos. And you got
a
menu.
That's all I care about, right?
Nice. You.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's really just all I care about. is eating and putting things in my mouth.
Well,
two different things.
You will do, yes, you will do well as either a food critic or as a hooker in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
This is going to be nice. Very, very nice. All right, for anybody who's listened to the theme song of the Ken August Show and of the weekly wrap-up, Marcus Bennett is the musician behind that masterpiece. That is just one of his songs, and all of his songs have just come out, or a handful of them have just come out on iTunes. Marcus Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T. You can check him out on iTunes, get his songs. I can't give you a discount because they barely charge you already. It's like 99 cents, I think, at the most. So they won't let me take anything off of that. But the only thing you can do that's better than that would be to see him live. So if you're on the East Coast, I would go see Marcus Bennett live. Check out where he's playing. He's pretty much playing almost every night of the week. But if you are not on the East Coast like me and can't get there as often as you'd like, go to Marcus Bennett. Look him up. You can go to my Facebook page or look him up at the iTunes store. Check him out. The Discovery Channel store reaches beyond the television screen to bring the wonder and mystery of the world to you. The Discovery Channel has scoured the globe to provide you with access to the most informative, interactive, and engaging products available. So explore the world and entertain your brain, Discovery style. Check out the Discovery Channel store, the closest one near you. Jelly Belly Candy Company is the foremost creator and supplier of gourmet jelly beans. Jelly Belly makes over 100 kinds of candies. The confections brand features everything from creamy chocolates to sour gummy worms to scrumptious candy corn, a treat made by Jelly Belly for over 100 years. So if you're like me and are shaped happily like a Jelly Belly, the Jelly Belly Candy Company is for you. Since 2001, FindLegalForms.com has helped over 800,000 customers by providing high-quality and easy-to-use legal forms. They offer more than 14,000 attorney-prepared legal forms to satisfy virtually any legal need. So if you have a simple legal need and don't want to pay those outrageous legal prices, go to FindLegalForms.com. BestBuyEyeglasses.com. Since 1997, Best Buy Eyeglasses has been a leading optical e-tailer with 30,000-plus eyewear products, including prescription frames, sunglasses, custom-made lenses, and accessories. They carry the full line of top brands, including Ray-Ban, Versace, Prada, Adidas, and Gucci, as well as 300-plus other brands. So if you're like me and you need eyeglasses, or you're driving by sense of smell like I am, check out BestBuyEyeglasses.com. IslandSurf.com serves up the most fashion-forward and cutting-edge brands in the surf industry. In addition to clothing and accessories, Island Surf also offers a great selection of purses, totes, backpacks, and luggage. And don't miss out on their awesome fall and winter selection of denim, hoodies, and snow outerwear. Unless you're in the South and you're black, I would avoid the hoodie. Oh, I can't do that. Why, Mr. Beer? It's the world's number one home microbrewery, that's why. With over a million kits installed, their competition doesn't even come close. And they back up their product with an unconditional guarantee and supply their customers additional mixes and accessories so they can use their kit over and over again, which is when I like to drink. So if you're like me and need a drink every now and again to take the edge off, go to MrBeer.com and get your own home microbrewery. 1-800-CLOTHES.com allows users to design apparel online for personal or professional use. You have the option of customizing t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, workwear, athletic wear, etc. The list goes on and on. They got it all. So if you want that t-shirt that says "Who Farted," or if you're with that guy and want the t-shirt that says "I'm with Stinky," go to 1-800-CLOTHES.com. inedvideo.com is your source for low-priced DVD, HD DVD, Blu-ray, video games, and music CDs. They also have the newest releases at unbeatable low prices. You can also find games for the PlayStation 2, PS3, PSP, Nintendo Wii 2, GameCube, Game Boy Advance, and a whole bunch of Xboxes. Once again, go to inedvideo.com for the cheapest. Los Angeles, Skid Row Studios, Real Radio on the internet. Welcome back. We were talking about the crazy manhunt that happened, and it seems like it's mostly all over now until the movie comes out. I don't know if LL Cool J is going to play the man or if they're going to make him Stallone, but didn't you say something about his mother finally came out? I was wondering why we hadn't heard anything about her playing for, you know.
Yeah, so she came out and just made some statements through a lawyer and basically said that, you know, respect her privacy and, you know, be respectful during this hard time for her.
I can understand that, but I mean, where the hell was she when, like, I completely expected to hear her calling for him to surrender when he was out somewhere killing people.
Well, apparently somewhere in his manifesto, he mentions that he wasn't on good terms with his mother. So, they weren't on speaking terms at the time that he went crazy. So yeah, I don't know. And perhaps the, you know, there's things we don't understand or don't know about that it made more sense for her to not, you know, involve herself at that time. But as soon as, you know, it was pretty much confirmed that he was toasted up in Big Bear, she came out with some statements.
Were people harassing her in the first place, or did she just come out with, "Hey, don't ask me any questions"?
I don't know, but I mean, the idea that people are having a problem with is that she's asking for sympathy, and you know, a lot of people feel like she basically raised a murderer, and you know, it's the people that who you know really kind of hold the parents responsible for everything.
I think that's tough to do. I mean, the kid in Newtown. Do you blame? I mean, the mother. I blame the fact that the mother had a gun. I think if the mother didn't have a gun, this kid's not going to find a gun anywhere because he's a crazy kid. But I don't blame the father. I mean, the father just lost his ex-wife, but one of his sons, and you know, has the notoriety of knowing that one of the worst school shootings in U.S. history is a son of his. So, I mean, this is, you know, every once in a while, there's things where you'll read a story about, oh, hey, there's this white supremacist family who raised their kids. One's named Adolf Hitler and one's named, like that, you can go, okay, I blame the parents. The parents are not bringing the kid up in any sort of surrounding or environment that's good for that kid. But in some cases, the kid snaps and the parents are, you know, are not at fault or can't really be held at fault. So, I mean, she also lost a son as far as I'm concerned.
It's really difficult to make a judgment call on these types of things without really understanding his background, his upbringing. What kind of mother was she? I mean, I don't know. Maybe she abused him as a child and all those types of things happened. But I don't think anybody knows that information. So it's really difficult to make that call. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I forget who it is that said it, but sometimes people are just crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, whatever happened. I mean, Chris Rock, I know, said whatever happened to just fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And that is true. And I am not saying that the mother, you know, so I have no idea what happened. So I'm not speculating on what kind of home life he had or what kind of mother she is. But I am saying you can't necessarily blame the parents. You can't automatically, I should say, blame the parents.
Some people do. Some people automatically will hold the parents responsible for...
Those people are stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is there's plenty of times when you can, but you can't blame everything on your parents. There's plenty of horrible shit some people can't, because parents have done some horrible shit. But just because somebody does something wrong, sooner or later, it's that person's fault, or that person is crazy, or something else happened. So you can't, you know, just like I can't say the mother was good. She may have had something to do with this. On the other hand, she may have had nothing to do with it. So for her, I can understand not, you know, hey, I didn't have much of a relationship with this boy anymore. And so I not only can I not answer your questions, but the only thing you can do is make me feel guilty. So stop talking to me. I'm not saying she deserves more sympathy or to be put on the same level as people that have lost family members and friends, you know, that this guy killed. But, you know, she also lost basically a son and a part of her life and a part of her reputation, or her family's reputation, at least.
So do you think there's producers in Hollywood trying to get on this right away?
Oh, my God, yes. Yes. I mean, it's a question
of... Can you really turn this into a movie? I mean...
Oh, yes. You just have to... I mean, you first of all, you know what based on a true story means in Hollywood. That doesn't mean shit.
Right.
So based on a true story in Hollywood can mean, well, there was also a person in this city. That could also be... That's enough of a basis for truth for this town. So what they're going to have to do... They love their flawed characters, but what they're going to have to do is figure out a way to make somebody likable in this story. So
Well, I mean, think about how many other stories this happens in. Somebody gets wrong. How many other movies this happens in? Probably every Stallone movie where he's not Rocky is basically he's been wronged in some way and he's killing people. Charles Bronson, I think, had a whole career on just somebody did some horrible shit and I'm going to get revenge. Now, what they normally do is the horrible shit is rape or murder. And so nobody feels bad when they go on these revenge killing sprees. Dorner didn't get murdered. You know, he didn't deal with a rape or murder. He dealt with what he's saying was an unfair firing. So they're going to have to change some things because you can't have the main person in this story that hateable and then have the cops also be not that likable in this story, opening fire on anybody with a truck like his. So, but there is a lot of fascinating aspects to this story. They'll just tweak it until they have somebody that's likable enough. Flawed, but likable.
You actually triggered a memory of something that I remember from the mother. Is I think the reason he was upset with her is because she told him to basically move on with his life. And forget about the police case and the whole police career. She told him to move on, and I think this is what upset him. And
I remember reading that he said his mother told him, and this was in the manifesto, his mother told him something along the lines of, sometimes bad things happen to good people. And he said, I can't accept that.
Right.
So I don't know if that is the line that you're talking about.
But you understand that mentality, you know, he, in his mind, was completely innocent and was completely fucked over by the system. And for him to even admit for a second or just to bow down and go on about things wasn't a possibility for him. And I can kind of understand that mentality. Not saying that it's a sane mentality, but being screwed over by the system and realizing there's nothing you can do about it, that's a difficult position to be in. Now, of course, it doesn't mean you should go out and kill people.
No, right. I mean, we've all been in a position where whether it's something important or it's something as, you know, unimportant as a game or a sport where you can't win. You're in a non-winnable situation. Either the person you're playing against is too good or you're just in a non-winnable situation at work or whatever it is. And it drives you nuts. And sometimes you go home and wish hateful shit on the person you can't beat or you can't, you know, someone at work who's keeping you down or doing something or making your life horrible. And there's times where you sit there and you wish hateful shit on that person. Or you imagine, you know what? Oh, God, I wish I could do this and embarrass this person or beat the shit out of this person. But there's a difference between fantasizing that you can get back at whatever's, you know, holding you down. And I'm going to kill everybody related to people that I feel have wronged me. There's a break in reality there.
It's the whole falling down Michael Douglas kind of story, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? That's a great example of how do they make this into, I mean, they right. made him into a likable character somehow, or at least a sympathetic, not likable, a sympathetic character. And that may be how they twisted. You are listening to the Ken Augustus Show live at Skid Row Studios, real radio on the internet. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about the State of the Union. They should probably change the name of that because no president ever has said, you know what, the union looks kind of shaky. That's, no matter what the hell is going on, no matter who's president, the union looks strong as ever and Americans are the best. That is pretty much the message and a lot of clapping. So we'll talk about that. The president laid out his plan for the next term. How he wants to deal with a handful of things, among them a problem that half of Congress doesn't even believe exists, global warming. We'll talk about that and gun control and a whole bunch of other shit, including one thing he took from Mitt Romney's presidential campaign, and now the Republicans are against it. We'll talk about that after this.
Hey, everybody, this is Drew Marks, host of Bad Advice here on Skid Row Studios. Listen to us every Saturday, 2 to 3 Pacific time. If you want to call the show, call us at 800-893-9562.